Blog Talk Radio.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind, cause he was way behind, and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, cause I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been." "Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hit, and then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Ready to dog fight, no child, no." The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best there's ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough. Granny, will you don't fight, no child, no."
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Rocky and the Wolfman live on Blog Talk Radio. We've had some technical difficulties first 38 minutes of the show, so I apologize for that for anyone listening online if you were having any problems. It looks like we're all a go, and we have our callers and my host on. I'm going to go ahead and bring on the first guest. Will, we're going to get to your week in review, maybe towards the end of the show, if that's okay with you. So welcome, everyone. We have a special edition episode, which is going to be reoccurring every week with our guest, Ms. Gary Binford. Gary Binford is a former sports writer for the New York Daily News, New York Newsday. He also is the founder of Nation Savers 2018. And he is a Christian conservative with conservative values. And tonight he's on the program to talk about communism I keep getting flipped off. I'm sorry about that, guys. I keep getting flipped off live. I mean, we're having a lot of technical difficulties right now with Blog Talk Radio. Really apologize. Welcome to the show. You're listening to Rocky and the Wolfman Radio. I keep getting knocked off. I got to put a song on. I just can't. Yeah. What if you go black?
The mama put the phone out of bed and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout. He started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Or what the mama saw, it was against the law. The mama looks down and spit on the ground every time my name gets mentioned. The papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Take me away, but the press let the story leak. Now when the radical preach come to get me released, we is all on the cover of Newsweek. And I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Rocky and the Wolfman Radio. I'm your host, Raquel Occhion. My co-host is Will Figueroa Jr. We are having a lot of technical difficulties here at Blog Talk Radio. I apologize for those who got on with us at 8 p.m. and we weren't able to get started until just now. So thank you for tuning in. If you're listening online and you do have a question or comment for us or for the host or the guests, please call in at 646-787-8638. Again, that's 646-787-8638. As always, thank you, Chaz Tulin, General Manager of Wind World Integrity News Network, for sponsoring our show. First order of the day is Week in Review with the Wolfman. Who I'm going to try and get on. We're having, a lot of difficulties. Let me see if I can... Wolfman, I think I have you on now, but can you hear me? Wolfman, you are live now. Actually, that's incorrect. Gary Binford is live now.
Can you hear me?
Welcome. It's been
Rocky,
a slow start.
You can hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh,
I can. Thank goodness.
Oh, wow. What an experience. You know, I came out of the music business. You know, I was a longtime manager of the contemporary jazz flautist Duane Kerr, and no show ever went right. There was always something that you had to deal with. So I'm glad you were able to get it together.
Yes, I certainly had this experience before in the past with BTR. Sometimes we're on a show, and we were like right in the middle of a show, and we just get all these kinds of interferences, like almost like somebody's listening in on the phone. Really, a lot of strange things have happened to us. But I'm surprised we got it started. I'm glad that we did too. And I don't know, Will, if you're, I don't know if Will is listening in, but I know he's not on the call yet. If you are listening in online, feel free to call in at 646-787-8638. We are up again, so listen in, and we're going to get started with our first guest, who is going to be a regular every Friday night. I'm so happy about it, Gary, that you accepted our invitation. So that's going to be every Friday night from 8:30 to – we're going to go a little late tonight, later than usual. So from 8:30 to 9 p.m. will be the Gary Binford segment of the Rocky and the Wolfman show. So welcome aboard. And tonight, I know you wanted to discuss communism versus constitution, so I want to go ahead and give you the microphone.
Okay, thank you very much. And I want to thank you and William for having me on the show. I think we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to, you know, we're going to get down on it and get down to it and get a lot of dig in the side, dig underneath the curtain, dig behind the curtain and see what's going on in America and try and help. What I do is trying to help equip people to deal with the issues as they are, because everything is not as it looks. I had an interesting week, and I want to tie two things in together, and it reminds me of a TV show I used to love called Monk. Did you used to watch Monk? Do you know who Monk is?
Vaguely.
Adrian Monk, he was a detective in San Francisco that was brilliant in his ability to solve cases, but he was just totally antisociable. He couldn't be around germs. He was just a total mess. He'd been thrown off the police department, but he had the great ability to solve cases, and every week there'd be two different murders, and one would be on one side of the city, and the other would be on the other side of the city, and if you're watching the show, you're thinking, why are they doing this? These crimes have nothing to do with each other. But in the end, Monk would figure out that one had something to do with the other, and the same person committed both crimes. And that's what happened to me this week. I had posted on my Nation Savers 2018 page on Facebook a statement, and it showed a picture of the American flag and a communist flag, and it said, "It's no longer Republicans versus Democrats. It's America versus communism, and that's a battle America must win." And, you know, and then my short quote was that President Trump didn't create this problem. He exposed it. And then I said, we've got to understand what this battle of subversion is truly about. The left, radicalized by Marxist communists, have been running a silent coup for more than 50 years. Well, it's not silent anymore. We're seeing and hearing it daily, right before our very eyes. This is what Barack Obama meant when he said he wanted to fundamentally change America. This isn't going to go away, folks. In fact, it's about to escalate and intensify greatly. We must do the right thing. Our freedom and liberty is at stake. The radical left must be debated and defeated while we still have time to do so. And one of my high school classmates from the class, Summit High School, class of 1969, posted that on her page. And she's got a lot of friends that are still from that high school class. And I got a lot of responses, Rocky. And what was very troubling to me was the general tenor of the people, mostly who are liberals, was that, you know, you're communist theorists and you know, communism is dead and, you know, you're going overboard. And I told them, check out a book, you know, The Naked Communists. I even gave them the tenets of the book of what they said the communists were going to try and do 60 years ago. And everything they just said, not everybody, but most people was like, Gary, you're a dreamer. If you're in a fantasy world. It's not communism. You know, it's just the natural order of things, and conspiracy people want to try and make it something. So I debated them, which I don't normally do. I don't normally get into it with liberals, but because, you know, they were my high school classmates. I hadn't thought about them in a lot of time. And, you know, I had some feelings for some of these people because I went to high school with them. I tried to debate with them. I got nowhere, so I just let it go. And then the Mueller hearings. And here we go. this is the second. Remember I said a monk, you had a crime on one side of the city and then a crime on the other, and they didn't seem, the murders didn't seem to coexist, and it seemed to be two different shows, but it turned out to be one. Boy, when I watched the Mueller hearing, but not as much the Mueller hearing, Rocky, but what happened after the Mueller hearing, and when I watched CNN and MSNBC and listening to liberals and listening to David Axelrod and listening to people say, we weren't ready for this. We had no idea. We didn't know what the Republicans were going to do. We don't pay attention to that stuff. And then I started listening to people talking about FISA document. What FISA? What are they talking about, Steele dossier? What are they talking about, Hillary Clinton and Uranium One? What are they talking about that you know that the Democrats all the whole
I think it's an act. I think it's an act, Gary. I think that they know.
I'm talking
what
about
do you think?
Okay, I'll get there. But that's the thing. When I kept hearing people and listening to other people that we know, they had never heard about this stuff. And it suddenly dawned on me, you know, one of the problems we have in this country is because we have a split country, because the mainstream media has not been but covering one side of the coin, and that's to get Trump at all costs, that there's a whole lot of people in America that don't know the other side of the coin. They haven't heard about the Steele dossier. They haven't heard about Uranium One. They didn't know it was all Democrats that were going after Trump. They didn't know about the FISA warrant and that it was and how it was deviously devised and concocted. There's all sorts of things that they don't even know about Barack Obama on the hot mic. Tell Vlad I'll have more leeway after I get reelected, and then he said, I'll pass it on, Comrade Obama, I'll pass it on. And you're talking about
that's
Trump.
Because,
this guy's on
a
hot mic. Go ahead.
I know, right? I mean, I'll tell you why. And that's because it's a fake news media, and that's what the president calls them, and I'm going to call them that too, because they are fake news, because they're only showing one side of the coin, just as you said. And the other side of the coin, which are all these kind of juicy things against Democrats that are really happening, that really need the public need to be paying attention to. Communism is a very serious threat, as you know, Gary. And I take it as a serious threat, having my father having escaped communist Cuba and gaining asylum in the United States under JFK. And his personal story and the personal stories of my family members who are still in Cuba and still live under communism, equally poor. That's exactly what they are. They're poor and they have no freedom. They have so much, it's so much that they don't have any freedom, but they can't leave their own country. So, you know, you can go get a passport, you can leave your country, you can travel, you can come back, you can do whatever you want. In communist countries, they don't let you leave so bad. So I'm very sensitive to the topic, and this is what gets me, Gary. What gets me is that, like you said, communism has been around a long time. It's not that it has went away, but it's been quietly infiltrating in the United States for a long time, but it's been quiet. What gets my goat right now in history is that the communists are right in your face. And the fake news media are backing them, you know, giving them softballs, you know, not really asking them the key questions. We have literal communists in the United States Congress, and they're openly communists, right? Social Democrats, socialist Democrats, same thing. It's just a euphemism. It's the same thing. And they're using it. They're out there. They're in your face. That's what bothers me the most, Gary.
And right, and see, you just went where I was about to head, and that's the whole problem. The whole problem is it suddenly dawned on me that my friends, and well, they were my former friends, but my former classmates, they fall into one of three categories. Either they're radicals, so they're down with that struggle, or they're people who kind of understand what's going on, but they say it's not going to happen in my lifetime, so I don't have to worry about it. Or they're the useful idiots that Stalin and Lenin talked about, the people that think it's about your social issues and your issues like same-sex marriage or abortion or social justice or whatever, but what you don't realize is about a communist takeover. And the problem is all three are insidiously dangerous because that's why they have gotten cover. The mainstream media has given them cover, And people don't understand. And it suddenly hit me, watching that Mueller hearing, and the response to it, and the Democrats' response, and the media's response. I really believe there's a lot of people who watch the national network news and who watch CNN, MSNBC, and watch all the, you know, the Marxist media networks. They're really in the dark about what's going on. They really don't understand. They really don't realize we were right under a silent coup if Donald Trump doesn't win this election and Hillary Clinton gets to name the Supreme Court judges, because they would have just rubber stamped everything through the courts. So this is very, very dangerous. And what they're doing, how you can tell, you say, well, how do you know they're communists? Well, it really doesn't matter what they are. What matters is anybody who assaults our Constitution is an enemy of the state. Constitution is there for a reason. It's the document that makes us free. And anybody that's trying to overturn that Constitution, that's who you have to shine the hot light of truth on, because they're enemies of America trying to change the form of government. Now, if you want to do that through, you know, election and all that, that's one thing. But this is an underhanded, silent coup that's been going on, where they took over the teachers' union, they took over, you know, the other unions, they've taken over the college campuses, they've taken over Hollywood and the media. They've just infiltrated all of these areas to the point now where they have had cover and have been able to move without being seen. And what happened is Donald Trump's election just totally spooked them. He just totally, you know, they just thought they had it made. They thought that Saul Alinsky and Obama and Karl Marx and everything, George Soros, everything they were dreaming about was right there. And Donald Trump put the brakes on it. Plus, he's fighting back because he's taken on that unholy trio of liberalism, political correctness, and the disingenuous mainstream media. And he's showing us how to fight back. You stand up and you have truth on your side, you punch them back. And they can't stand it. They can't take it. So they're ripping their masks off, and now they're going for it. And they're absolutely going for it. And this is the big fight for the country, because they understand you cannot have socialism, communism, Marxism, whatever you want to call it, as long as that Constitution stands. That's why everything comes back to the flag. Everything comes back to the Constitution. Ferguson, Occupy Wall Street, Colin Kaepernick, no matter what it is, Cal Berkeley, no matter what's going on, it starts out with an issue and it ends up with founding fathers who had slaves wrote the Constitution, so the Constitution is irrelevant, immaterial, should be overthrown, and we want to get rid of it. See, and that's what it is, because they understand if they can't get rid of that Constitution, they can't put in an anti-God, anti-American form of government.
Enemies to the Constitution. And I think that the media is just, you know, encouraging them by their softballs, by their unwillingness to talk about the other issues, the issues that they had no clue about during the Robert Mueller hearing, which includes a silent coup, which it is really important. And the president said today on Sean Hannity's show that he doesn't want this to ever happen to any other president again. And I don't want it to happen either, because this is what happened. It was an insurance policy for the Democrats if Trump won. One of them said that. One of the federal employees said that. This was an insurance policy just in case Trump won. So in other words, if Hillary won, there would have been no Russiagate scandal. This wasn't really anything about Russia. I read the first part of the report. Of course, there was no conspiracy or collusion between Russia and any American citizen, not just the president. So he's got to be colluding with somebody. So they found in the first part of the report that not just the president did not collude with the Russians to interfere with the elections, but not any American either. And they're relying on, check this out, 19 Russian entities, whether entity or individuals, just 19, who spent a total of $1,500 in Facebook ads. And what the Democrats want the public to believe is that those 19 Russians and $1,500 in social media ads was the reason, so outrageous, was the reason why Trump got elected. It was because of the Russian interference. Now, just imagine, Gary, and I know you'll agree with me, if Hillary Clinton was president, do you think there would have been anything about Russia interfering with the elections?
Absolutely not. And the first thing about those Russian trolls, the first thing that America needs to understand, because the media and the Democrats won't tell you, what they did and what they bought on Facebook, they did that after the election. Most of what they did and most of their fooling around occurred after Donald was already president. Also understand, prior to the 2016 election, Earth to Democrats, Barack Obama was president, and Clapper, Comey, and Brennan were all in office. This all happened under their watch and under their nose. If you remember, Obama said he laughed and mocked and scoffed at the idea that Russians could interfere with our election. He said our systems are too well fortified and too diverse. He laughed at it. Clapper, Brennan, and Comey, they said nothing. Since this was going on, hey, they hacked Hillary. Don't forget, she had an unsecured server with government stuff on it. They tried to hack the RNC, too. They were just hunkered down and had their stuff
on
lockdown.
Well, you know what? Julian Assange said that came from the inside. Who is the WikiLeaks founder and was the ultimate person who, you know, released a lot of emails from Hillary Clinton that were very damaging. But he said that it wasn't even the Russians, that it was somebody on the inside. Do you think it's a big cover-up? Do you think Julian Assange is telling the truth?
I don't know the answer to that. I think it'll all come out in the wash, but this is the answer that I do know. We used to watch – there used to be a magazine, Mad Magazine, back in the day, and they had a thing called Spy versus Spy. It was a spy in a black outfit and a spy in a white outfit, and they just beat each other over the head.
I remember that.
The point is, espionage is real. We do it. Other countries do it. We're involved in stuff. They're involved in stuff. People offer you stuff. You may look at it. You may not. But you want to see a lot of times what it is on both sides of the aisle. Don't forget, Barack Obama put his finger on the scale in public in Israel's election trying to block Netanyahu from being reelected. What the heck is that? And that was right out in the open. I didn't hear anybody complaining about you're interfering in somebody's election. You know, see, so what ends up happening is both sides, right, take information from people. It's just like in football. Teams spy on each other. They try and find their plays. They try and get their playbook so they can get an edge. But it's gamesmanship, and nobody turns anything in. So now all of a sudden, and Donald Trump's not even president, which is going on. He's just a candidate. And if you notice, he was absolved of any wrongdoing as far as his ability to try and contort with Russia. A lot of stuff was offered. See, the media doesn't want to tell you that Papadopoulos and the people, they had fake Russian spies trying to infiltrate Trump's administration and trying to set people up, but they weren't able to do it. This was one big, huge sting attack. This was an attempt, as Peter Strzok had said to Lisa Page, we have an insurance policy. If he even thinks he's going to win, we're going to bring him down. And they tried. And they tried with some of the highest government officials that you could imagine. And they got caught. And now they're in trouble because this didn't go down the way they thought it was going to go down. They haven't gotten rid of him. And now they dance to the music. They're going to have to pay to the piper. And I really believe, and this is why I wanted to talk about this topic, because the combination of the people I went to high school with that seems to not really understand what's going on with communism and the people after the Mueller, you know, a whole bunch of libs hearing stuff for the first time, finally woke me up and let me know we still have another job to do. And it's not just to go out and vote, Rocky. Part of our job is now that all of this is on the table, we've got to educate and enlighten and talk to our liberal friends, the liberals we know, to explain to them what's going on, because now we know, for the most part, they haven't heard this. You know, a lot of people were hearing that FISA, what's FISA, steel dossier, what's that? What's Uranium One? You know, a lot of people still don't know what went down with Obama and Iran. See, because they don't know about Fast and Furious and the guns sold to Mexico. See, they don't hear this stuff because the mainstream media covered it up. So now that this is starting to, you know, come out of Pandora's box, I really think it's contingent on us to not take it for granted that the people that listen to the liberal news know what's going on. And it's now our turn to make sure that we go out and educate and enlighten them to make sure they know, because now this is all out in the open, and now we have an opportunity we haven't had in 2 years. Because we've been saying, we're telling you, you have this wrong, you have this wrong. And they didn't want to believe us. Well, Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper, they wouldn't lie to us. Yes, they did. Okay, and so did Kathy Cuomo.
Yes,
and Kathy,
they did. And misled. And misled. Because they're too busy talking about, I just don't know how the liberals like get around these arguments. So it's sort of like every single day I hear the same thing coming out of their mouths, the anti-Trumpers. And that's Trump is a liar. Okay, they kept saying it. I put on my Facebook page, what makes Trump a liar? And a whole bunch of people make their own little posts about, I don't know, some stat being wrong, some speech he gave, he said the wrong word. You know, nothing really of any real substance, like lying to the American people, you know, being a deceitful. You know, there's different levels of lies, and I don't know if you'll agree with that. But, you know, your intent, the deceit of it all is what makes it wrong. And I don't think that Trump has done anything deceitful towards the American people. But they just hammer it, lies. So I said, let me start watching him on Twitter every day. Let me see if I could catch him in some lies. So I follow him on Twitter every day, every post. It makes, you know, 5-10 Twitter posts a day. Every day, every post for 7 days. I could not find one lie. So they just keep hammering on this lie. But what real on this accusation? And I don't know how they get away with it, because they never ever had any real substance to it. And the reality is, and I do want the folks to understand this, when we talk about this Steele dossier, what that is an opposition paper for an opposition candidate. And the person who hired Steele from the company that Mueller can't remember, the person was the Hillary Clinton campaign in the DNC. So they hired, and there's nothing wrong with opposition research, right? So candidates do that all the time in opposition races. So you're going to have your people going to write hit pieces on your opposition, and your campaign people are going to write hit pieces on your operation. But we don't take these hit pieces to the FBI. Okay, because they're hit pieces. They're naturally, like, purposefully disingenuous. They are disingenuous because it's a hit piece. It's a hit piece. It's opinion, quite frankly. And there was never any substance to the hit piece that Hillary Clinton's campaign made up, which is what the media calls the Steele dossier, okay? So the Democrats, under the leadership of Obama, take the dossier to the FBI and say, you got to investigate this because this is true. I don't know that the American people, this is the start of it all. This is what started it all. There never was any connection between Trump and the Russians or any influence. They certainly didn't. Whatever they did illegally, I'm not going to say that they're wholly innocent. I think every single country, and I don't think this is anything new, they want to have some type of influence in other people's elections. But that 2016 election had nothing to do with Russia.
No, it had to do with Donald Trump ran a great campaign, outworked her, went to more states, understood where his battleground states were. He was the person that was able to do something I don't think any of the other Republican candidates could have done. That was when Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, which, you know, win Ohio, win Florida, right? See, and to point to what you're saying about the lying and Trump lying, okay? Here's a Trump lie they went ballistic on. So in their mind. So he does rally someplace, and he has 50,000 people, and there's 100 empty seats. So he calls it a sellout, and all I'm hearing everybody say from the liberal media the next day, Trump lied, it wasn't a sellout, there's 100 empty seats. Yet when Barack Obama said, if you want to keep your health plan, you can keep your health plan. If you want to keep your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Promise. I heard him say that 18 times minimum on when he was campaigning about Obamacare, you know, that socialist monstrosity, socialized medicine, and it was a flat-out lie.
Yep.
Everybody knew it. They lied that they said there wasn't abortion, that it wasn't taxpayer-funded abortion in there. They lied. They lied to Blanche Lincoln. They lied to Ben Nelson. See, but the liberal media doesn't point that out. Okay, and here's why. All right? Everybody, just listen. This is what the communists have done. This is what the communists have done. This was their goals. I'm going to tell you some of their goals, and then be sitting down when I tell you what year this was printed. This came out of a book called The Naked Communist. Goal 17, get control of the schools. Use them as transition belts for socialism. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Done. Goals 20 and 21, infiltrate the press. Gain control of key positions in radio, television, and motion pictures. Done. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography in books, magazines, motion pictures, and TV. That's number 25. Done. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, nature, healthy. Number 26. Done. Infiltrate the churches and replace reveal religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible. Number 27. Done. Two more. Number 28, eliminate prayer in the school on the grounds it violates the principle of separation of church and state. Number 40, discredit the family as an easy institution. Encourage promiscuity, and easy divorce. Done. W. Cleon Klaus wrote that book in 1958. That book wasn't written 8 years ago. That
book
was written in 1958. And see, look at how successful they've been. See, and I kind of get it in a way with why people don't think this will take hold. Because My Nation Savers 2018, which started as Nation Savers 2016 to help support the DVD that was out about the communist takeover of America called Agenda, Grinding America Down. It was an award-winning film. It was the producer of the film, Curtis Bowers, went to a Communist Party USA rally or seminar. It's a weekend seminar on the Cal Berkeley campus in 1992. And he said the first thing he saw, he was expecting to see a bunch of college radicals, but these were 50, 60, and 70-year-olds. They were grandparents dressed and carrying briefcases. And then, listen carefully here. Now, this will show you the problem we have. He said this is what happened during that weekend. This is what the communists in 1992 said they were going to do. To destroy our family, they wanted to promote cohabitation instead of marriage. They wanted to get children away into government programs at the earliest age. They wanted to get behind the feminist movement because they felt it would be very successful in making women discontent with marriage and motherhood. To destroy business, they wanted to get behind the environmental movement, and in 1992, the environmental movement was very modest. But they thought it was the only vehicle capable of creating enough regulation and red tape to discourage business growth. And finally, to destroy our culture of religion and morality, they said if we can get the Americans to accept homosexuality, they thought it would begin to extinguish our traditional moral values America held. And Curtis, who was a young man at that time, in his 20s, in 1992, sat there, taped this. He's got it on a tape recorder, and that's where his Agenda Grinding America Down comes from, Rocky. And this was what he said at the time, quote, I remember thinking at this time, this plan doesn't seem very realistic. It's not something I'll need to worry about in my lifetime. See, and that's the problem. He sat in a communist meeting, didn't think it was going to happen in his lifetime, became a member of the Idaho legislature 12 years later, thinks back on what he saw in 1992 and what he heard and realized everything happened. It did happen in his lifetime. And that's why I do what I do. That's why you do what you do. And that's why we have to passionately fight this, you know, tooth, just fight it, meet it head on with everything we have, because they are at the doorstep and half of America's sleeping.
They are, but you know, thank goodness for President Trump, because he's really changed things for the better. Could you imagine if the Democrats took over the White House and then the Congress the following in the midterm elections? Things would be very different. I mean, they're already in our face with their communist ideas. They'd be passing laws. It could happen very quickly. It can happen very quickly through laws, through a corrupt Congress. And that's what will happen if the Democrats take over. These are the same Democrats who were willing to use an opposition piece, an opposition candidate piece, hired and paid for by Hillary Clinton, Trump's opposition in the 2016 election. And they were willing to just throw our votes in the garbage. It didn't really matter how Trump won, but they were going to try and convince the people that he won because of all these other reasons, you know, the interference, white nationalism, you know, inherent racism, white privilege, all these crazy ideas. It's a disaster. So I think, because the Trump is, it really does talk to the American people, and he is a populist. I think that his popularity and the way he engages the American people, blue collar workers, people, I think he can engage anybody on any economic stratosphere. Trump is your guy, I think, and we are looking to him. We are looking to him to keep it up, to keep the fight up, and he's doing his job really well.
Yes, he is, and I wanted to say one thing about, you know, they started out with collusion, and Adam Schiff is talking about, I guarantee you, and McNamara, they said they had all this stuff, and of course, but Mueller said there was no collusion, right, with any Americans, including Trump or anybody in his campaign. Then they try and switch it to obstruction of justice. Now, I want to explain this obstruction of justice in a way that I think everybody can understand it. I used to be a sports writer for two major New York newspapers, right? And if I went and said, I know that somebody, a big-time professional New York athlete, because I live in New York, if I said, I know a big-time professional New York athlete, a demagogue in New York beats his wife, and I'm going to prove it. And then I started going around trying to talk to all his friends, girlfriends from high school, this, that, and the other, you know, people he's dated before he got married. And he knows he hasn't beaten his wife, but how do you prove a negative? And he tells his people, hey, look, this guy's a jerk. You know I don't beat my wife. Don't talk to him. And then I go, aha, obstruction of the press. Because you told somebody don't talk to me. Yeah, he told somebody don't talk to me because it's a witch hunt. There's nothing there. He knows there's nothing there, right? So now they act like, you know, well, President Trump was obstructing. No, President Trump is upset and angry that his family and other people like Michael Flynn and you can name them all, you know, that they have to go through this unnecessarily with people leaving Cohen, Manafort, all of them. Yeah, they were doing their own things. So the Democrats and the government, they're going to say, okay, we're going to crack on you for stuff that you're doing that has nothing to do with your association with President Trump, trying to get you to squeal. Okay, otherwise we're going to send you to jail for that if you don't. And he said, I don't have anything. Well, you better lie or you're going to jail. See, that's what that was about. And that is un-American. And that is borderline treasonous, Rocky, because to intentionally try and bring down a sitting United States president, you know, that's a very bad thing.
Yes,
I don't even know if it ever happened in the country before.
It's through lies, and it's by misrepresenting facts, and also they're straight up lying to the American people. the CNNs and the fake news of the newses of the world. Also, I have good news to tell you, Gary. We do have the Wolfman back on. Isn't that awesome?
I need to hear his voice, and then I have to make a comment because I was holding this. My okay. gut has been busting, waiting. Is he there?
I am here.
Yes.
Oh, Wolfman. Hey, look, first off, I want to thank both of you for having me on as a weekly guest because, you know, we did this for the first time last week. I thought I had a blast, and I'm glad you guys thought enough of me to give me a regular segment. So I'm emailing back and forth with Rocky today, and each time she finishes her email, she puts woot, woot. So I needed to find out from you, what's the woot, woot sound? How am I supposed to go woot, woot? You know, I hope it's not like, you know, the Raccoon Lounge, the Raccoon Lodge with Ralph Cramden and that Raccoon Lodge thing. But so how am I supposed to say woot, woot?
I have her, when I send my messages to her, I end them with how woo.
Okay, how woo. You know, by the way, I did have a silver
I'm catcalling.
By the way, I do have a silver bullet laying here in case you get out of control.
There you go.
I mean?
You know your mythology.
That's great.
It's great to have you on. You know, you want to join in and you know, because I know you have a lot to say here. We've kind of carried the ball here, but you know, it's a shame that America has to go through this.
Yeah, so before we jump into that, I want to relay a little something personal because this was personally extremely frustrating. It gets me to no end when technology doesn't do what it's supposed to do. I'm a big tech head, and when things don't do what I want, I get very, very, very upset. So as you guys know, in the background, I've been working several machines here trying to get this up. My greatest fear is drowning, and there's just something about it. Everybody has a fear, and that's exactly what it felt like as I listened to you both talking, and I'm gasping for air because I want to be part of this conversation so bad, and yet it's so close and yet so far, and that's exactly what it felt like.
I got to say something since you brought that up. You went there. Yeah. I have to say something. There's a place in New Jersey. It's a Christian beach that I go to every summer for the last 10 years. Right now, on this radio, I have to give all the praise and glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because 4 years ago, I got caught in a riptide and ended up out in the ocean, and it took 45 minutes for the lifeguards to get to me. And I just calmly treaded water there. The Lord sustained me and kept me up. The only reason I'm telling you this is because if I go down then, neither one of you ever meet me. So all praise and glory to God.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, God protects me by making me never go to the ocean, ever. So,
well, I'm an ocean guy. I'm a water beach guy, and now that I'm older, I don't go out as far, and now I stay in fact, I make sure there's people to the left of me and people to the right, and I used to go way out to jump waves, but those days are over now. Now what I try and do is, jump these liberals because they're out of control. We've got to take our country back, and this is sad what's going on because America has had problems before, but never anything like this. And I know you being a vet, you know what it's like when you have subversion and when you have something pushing against you with deadly intentions. You know, like Mike Tyson used to go in the ring with a T-shirt that said bad intentions. The left has bad intentions for America because they want to overthrow our Constitution. They want to take away our freedom and liberty that comes from God and put us back into bondage. In no way, not in our lifetime and not on our watch, right?
Right. So here's the good news. The good news was the first time we overthrew tyranny by taking out the control of King George III, we managed to beat the strongest military and navy on the planet with 3% of our population. So, and I mentioned that particular fact because you do have a half and half split on this ideology. And I know I mentioned it once, probably last week, where I said that this 50-50 split in our ideology in this country has always existed. There were people who were loyalists to the king who thought, you guys are nuts. You're going to get us all killed. and we're not doing that because you're not beating the world's strongest military. That's not happening. And then when they're hanging you, and I'm still alive, I'm going to be laughing. And most of those people got trapped up in churches and buildings and torched because they didn't fight back. So, yeah, we're closely approaching that again. And a lot of what you said while I was drowning underwater there rang very true, which is the notion of what was actually going on, how much people were willing to just not pay attention. And one of those one of the devices that has helped fast forward that is the smartphone. Social media, sure, but the smartphone in specific. For years, we've been talking about how people are buried with their eyes on these screens. You have car accidents. You have children drowning because parents are not paying attention. You have people who don't even look at each other when they're out eating dinner. You know, and we also make the joke that this is the zombie culture of everyone just kind of staring down and mulling around. But that singular device allowed for a certain amount of control by allowing people to constantly be fed information. We quickly found out once we got into the internet that people tended to move towards ideas that they already agreed with. So you would seek out the things that you like, and you would tend to avoid the things that you don't like. And you may acknowledge they exist, but you're not too interested in knowing what they're doing. And so you have a direct schism where one side doesn't seem to know what the other side is doing. That's only partially true, though. It is, there is a segment of our population that is very, very interested in what's going on, and we do so to the point where we pay attention to the other side as well. And as painful as it can be doing it, I literally had an argument for 7 hours with a flat earther earlier this week. It was the most frustrating thing I had ever gone through. And I knew it was going to be frustrating, but I had to know, do you really believe this? Why do you believe this? What evidence do you have to believe this? And ultimately, at the end, I realized I was dealing with a nana-nana-boo-boo kind of person, fingers in their ears, because they weren't listening to any evidence. They weren't even conceiving of it. And when I didn't believe, it's because I didn't believe enough in God and their version of God. And I was like, wow, this is really disheartening, because you're an actual person on this earth that I have to actually contend with in some intellectual manner, and you can't be bothered to at least know what your opposition thinks. So there was an interesting study that it was about 1,000 questions. It's that psychological kind of thing, like do you like guns or I like guns or whatever it is. And they asked 1,000 questions, and they gave it to two groups of people. One side definitely said we're liberals, and the other side definitely said they're conservative. And they made them answer it as if they were answering it for themselves, so honestly, and then they took those away from them, and then they gave those same people the exact same 1,000 questions and said, answer it as if you were the ideological opposite. And what these researchers found was that the conservatives were very able to accurately portray liberals on the 1,000 questions, but the liberals could not possibly fathom what a conservative would say. They just couldn't actually do the mental exercise. What do you mean, do I like guns? Nobody likes guns. Guns cause a lot of harm. People die. Nobody likes that. And they'll answer it as themselves. They can't do it. They can't imagine what the other side thinks or why.
You know where we found that out?
What was that?
We saw that after the Mueller hearing, where all these people on CNN, all these people are talking about, I have no idea what we didn't know the where did the Republicans get this stuff from? We didn't know. We didn't know about the Steele dossier. We didn't know about fusion. Didn't know anything.
I think there's two parts to that, I think.
Right.
I think on the one hand, you have the media is literally carrying water for their respective sides. I'll even throw Fox in there. All right, they're carrying water for their respective sides. I want to say that Fox is doing it because they're engaged in the battle, what you were saying before, that they are carrying this version of truth and using it in the arena of ideas. Mm-hmm. And the left is sort of doing it too. The difference is, and I tell this to my kids and grandkids, the difference between a lie and the truth is that you never have to defend the truth. you never have to actually put any extra effort in the truth. The truth is simply the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only when you're engaging in some form of deception do you have to actively work on maintaining that deception. And that's where these holes get punched in. So a lot of it is obfuscation. A lot of it was ignoring it. Okay, a lot of these reports don't get reported by the left. People don't get to hear it. So then when someone says, what is GPS, right, the fusion GPS, what is that? And you look at them like they have five heads. What do you mean, what is fusion? You've never heard that before? And they're like, no. And you can look at them and you can tell, wow, they're sincere. You've never heard of Christopher Steele. No. Wow. You know. Ugh.
Are we supposed to sing?
You got a break.
The mama pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and he started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Or what the mama saw, it was against the law. The mama looks down and spit on the ground every time her name gets mentioned. The papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going, I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, it's the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Anybody there?
I am.
Yeah.
So that was a cool little break.
Yeah. It's one of those nights, as I was telling Rocky before, being in the music business, all kind of craziness happens. The worst thing happened is a show in a pretty big place in New York, and our drummer didn't show up. That was horrible. I mean, it was bad. You know, so you just have to deal with whatever. We just have to deal, you know, it's life. And they're machines, as you know. You're dealing with automation here, so it's not perfect, you know. So that's...
We have a saying in the military that no plan remains intact upon contact, meaning that you can put all this stuff together in show prep and you know, you can have your meetings and, hey, things are going to go this way, but nothing ever survives reality intact. You always have to adjust fire and try and figure your way through a situation.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to figure our way through the situation now. And here's my concern right now. And you being a military man, I'm really very interested to hear your opinion on this, Wolfman. None of us were around for the Civil War. But, boy, it sure seems to me we're about as split as it gets. And this could get really, really nasty in this next election. Whether Donald Trump wins or loses. I think we are so split, and that you have one half of the country that you have a strong radical, you know, and they can control the colleges, Hollywood, the media, the unions, the schools, unfortunately. You have that faction and all these young kids who are raised and steeped in this socialism garbage. And then you have the other people that are used to, you know, I grew up in a time in which you didn't have to lock your car or your house. Try that today. See, so we're from another planet, like, and these two spheres are about to collide. And you know, and with Antifa and all the and Soros and his money and everybody else loading up, it could get nasty.
Well, when I first, I want to say this first here, looks like Rocky is now having her fair share of getting back online. So we're going to keep working on that and see what we can do about that. So meanwhile, you know, we got you and me, and we got Dean on the line. So Dean Stidham is going to come online, and I'm going to ask our engineer to take care of that. Are we able to get him back online? Online?
I'm here. I don't know if Dean's here, but I'm still here.
All right, we'll keep working. So you mentioned the Civil War. The first time Rocky and I first spoke was offline before I was even a first-time guest, and it was in reference to the Second Civil War that I believe is, in fact, coming. And for exactly the reasons that you state, you got a deep, deep schism. And I've said it for years that the battle will not be North versus South. It'll be Left versus Right. And
now it's Communist versus Constitution, which is why I ran with that today.
Which is basically the same thing in an American aspect. It's the same thing. And The left isn't just the left in America. There's a global left. Every country has it. And what we have been seeing in the last 20, maybe 20 to 40 years with the whole concept of globalism is that globalism, the plan was to get the left worldwide unified to do what they wanted, and they masked it in commerce, which basically means that they were hiding inside of consumerism and capitalism as a means to distribute control. And while you were talking with Rocky in the beginning and I was drowning, you both kind of spoke to that. And it reminded me of the plot to one of the Captain America movies where we discovered that Hydra was actually working inside SHIELD for all this time. And I bring that up because that's one of the more direct comparisons to what I see going on. But the thing that really bothers me with all the stuff coming out of Hollywood now is that it seems like all these ideas are coming from places that have a bit more of the truth in it than we would like to imagine. And that this masking of globalism inside of a consumerism costume seems to be one of those plans, and Trump did get in the middle of it, and he's kind of the perfect guy to do that, getting right in the middle of some kind of a economic takeover or idealistic takeover, because he was, you know, knee deep inside of that world with what he was doing. So
one of the things that you just hit upon, and this is one of the things that I think is really why they hate Trump. It's kind of like a guy like me who's a black American who was a liberal my whole life because I didn't know any better. I didn't even know a Republican until I was 47 years, basically one until I was 47 years old. Nobody I was around. I traveled in music and professional music and sports circles. That's as liberal as it gets. I was a night person, you know. I was a writer, and then I was in music management. I didn't know any, you know, what you call regular people, right? And as a black man, everybody I knew, the people in the church and everybody you grew up with, everybody was a liberal, everybody was a Democrat, and I was not political. But then I got saved, I became born again, a follower of Jesus Christ, I changed, and now the venom against me is hard, it comes strong because, you know, you're a sellout, you're an Uncle Tom, you're this or that, whatever, and they don't even call me that because I'm really born again, I don't see race. So my issue is just saved and not saved, and they know that, so they leave me alone on that. But the point I'm trying to make is Donald Trump was one of them. The rappers hung out with him, the actors, the actresses. I know a lot of people from back in the 90s who were hanging out with the Donald. Everybody wanted to be at a hotel or on his yacht or his parties. See, and now he's flipped sides. And he knows where all the skeletons are. So now he knows. Think about this. He knows who the communists are. He knows who the communists in Hollywood. He may not have known when he was hanging with them. Just like I didn't know who was radical when I was hanging with them because I didn't know what a radical was. But now that I'm on the other side, oh, that's the radical. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he was a radical back when I was. In fact, there was a guy that I used to. From another New York newspaper, I won't mention his name, but I liked him. We got along very, very well. This guy was a straight-up communist, and he called himself a communist. He wouldn't even clean his room in a hotel. He wouldn't let the maid clean it. He'd clean it himself and then leave them a tip, okay? But he had torched buildings. You know, he had been involved in all kind of stuff back when he was in a radical university I won't name because if I name it, people probably figure out who it is. But the point I'm trying to make is, I didn't see anything wrong with this guy. We were very friendly. We used to eat together. We hung out together, you know, on the road. I didn't see anything. You know, his ideology didn't affect me then. Does now. See, so Donald Trump knows who's who. And they know he knows. So they're trying to get him the heck out of there because eventually payback is coming. And once he gets clear of all this stuff, between him and Barr or whoever he's going to get in place, I really think there's going to be a wide sweep of people with bad intentions in this country. And these people are – I could see people going down for treason. I really could, Wolfman, because they're trying to overthrow the government. And what they did to him is beyond shameful. It was actually treasonous because they know they have nothing. They know they're lying, and they know the only reason they're trying to get him out of there is because they don't like him and that he's starting to unravel all their stuff. Notice what he did. He's neutered the United Nations. The United Nations, you know, has been running this country for far too long, sending us into wars and places we don't belong, kowtowing to the United Nations, which is the forerunner to the One World Order, okay? All bad trade deals, bad, you know, getting us, as you said, pulling us out of globalism. But the big thing he's been doing, he's been flipping the courts. Flipping all the Woodstock-like liberal judges from the state court, county courts, on up to the Supreme Court. They don't like that because they know that's how you change a country. You do it through the courts. I mean, abortion, you know, Norma McCorvey was just one woman with an issue. That wasn't for everybody, but, you know, they passed the law, and now they were able to make that law stick forever. See, so he is in the process of dismantling everything Barack Obama had put in place for 8 years, and boy, they don't like it. So, America, you got to understand, we have a fight on our hands. This is a fight for the soul of our nation. This is the fight for the freedom and liberty that come that God gave us through that Constitution, and we can't let them take this away.
You're absolutely right. I recall I was still in, and unfortunately I retired with Obama's signature on my retirement paperwork. I remember having discussions. We're not allowed to be political while in uniform or in place of work. But, of course, it still happens. You can kind of have that discussion offline, you know, out of work or what have you. And a lot of the younger soldiers were enamored by him, and they couldn't understand why the older guys were not very happy with what he was doing. And, you know, everything was going bad, and you would hear them complain why are things going bad, and you'd try and mention, well, these are Obama policies. And I remember saying to someone that the next president will be a genius if he does one thing and one thing only, literally undo everything Obama has done. That guy will become the greatest president in the history of the world. And I was right. I didn't know it was going to be Trump, and it doesn't really even matter. Whoever became the president, if that's what he did, just undo everything Obama did and spend your whole time doing it, you will be the greatest president ever.
Obama's a Marxist. He's steeped in Saul Alinsky. He's steeped in the Marxist tradition and ideology. When he said he wanted to fundamentally change America, he meant it. He meant fundamentally change America from a constitutional republic to a big government, and that's what socialism is, big government, where government controls what should be controlled by the private sector, where big government would control. And that's why, if you notice, people said, well, when he had the House and the Senate, why didn't he get anything done? Because he was too busy trying to get health care passed, because he realizes, and anybody realizes, if you look in other countries, if you can control health care, you control the people. So he spent all the time trying to get health care in, because health care, he got you. So you're saying, well, how did you got it? Yeah. Okay, if you're on the government dime, now if they're paying for your health care, and you go in to see a doctor and they say you're 20 pounds overweight, we're not giving you this unless you lose weight, or you can't eat this, you can't have that, you need to have panels on this, you got to do that. Remember, what did he do? Somebody was saying, oh, my mother, she's 89. You know, she's suffering from this and this, but she's got her faculties. What can you do for her? And he said, take a pill, a death pill. Give me a break. You know, see, that's what he was trying to do. So this election saved America, because Hillary Clinton would have just taken the football from where Barack Obama left it, would have named 2 to 3 judges. Ruth Buzzy Ginsburg would probably retire, and they would have put in their liberal judges, and they would have just rubber-stamped stuff through the Supreme Court. They'd take it out to the Ninth Circuit. If it failed, if it gets to the Supreme Court, stamp, 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 because they'd have a 6-3 or a 5-4 advantage. And you see how much it means, because today we got a huge victory in the Supreme Court saying, you know, that it's legal for Trump to get $2.5 billion to help build his wall. See, that
all
was
right, so I'm
going to
jump in real quick.
Oh, that was great news today.
There she is.
Hey, guys, I'm back on.
Right.
Hey, good to hear you.
Thank you. I apologize to everybody. We definitely got a late start tonight. We missed the weekend review with the Wolfman. One of my guests couldn't get it come on, so I ended up rescheduling him for 2 weeks from tonight. And now we have our final guest, Dean. He has been on the line for a while. I appreciate, Dean, you listening in. We are having terrible technical difficulty through Blog Talk Network. So welcome aboard, Dean. Dean has been a caller before. He listens to our show, Dean Stidman, and he's a podcaster as well and a friend of the program, and he's reporting from an underground bunker somewhere in Madison.
Hey,
No, Dean, not Madison, Wisconsin.
No, sir.
Madison, New Jersey?
No, Madison, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
I had it
wrong.
That's a lot of Madison.
Okay.
Yeah, we're the conservative state. Yeah, I'm about 30 miles from Louisville, Kentucky.
Well, I was going to say, if you were in Madison, Wisconsin, you need to hide in a bunker.
I really need to hide in a bunker, probably here, too. And, you know, chiming in real quick on this technical difficulty stuff, it's been on this end tonight, too. My cameras are down. We're hoping to shoot live through YouTube tonight. It's been a total mess here, too, but I appreciate you all for allowing me to come on. And, you know, you were talking about the Mueller report. Of course, I got clued in on that this past Wednesday. And, you know, a lot of my listeners have been asking me, who was the guy sitting next to Robert Mueller in the hearing Wednesday? And, of course, I'm sure most of you know, that would be Mr. Zeblin. And here's a little background on him, in case some of your listeners aren't aware. Mr. Zeblin left here as a $1.4 million your job at Wilma Health as one of the first hires in the Russia investigation. Now, two of the prosecutors on the Mueller team, of course, are James Wolf and Judy Wright. Now, as deputy special counsel, Mr. Zeblin was less than a prosecutor than he was more of a kind of steward. He had day-to-day oversight for the investigation conducted by, of course, the office. Also, by the way, Mr. Zevlin's wife, who is Catherine Eastley, is a judge on the District of Columbia Court of Appeals and the chief of staff to Mr. Moore in the final years of his career at the FBI. Now, the two were virtually, from what I understand, inseparable at any of the congressional hearings. Now, what really got me, of course, a lot of this whole thing got me. I'm going to be honest, I sort of felt taken part, as I think a lot of the Republicans did. I felt a little bit sorry for Mr. Moore. No doubt in my mind.
Pardon me for one second, Dean. I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you.
Okay.
Could you make sure that your phone is, or you just that you're talking right into the microphone, or maybe you could put your sound a little, raise your sound a bit. No, that's worse.
That is worse.
How's this? This better.
Oh, that is actually better. Thank you.
Okay, that's good. Okay, we'll just continue real quick. When Robert Phil Mueller was asked, are you aware that Mrs. Jean Grey represented Hillary Clinton in the famous email scandal and asked abortion, of course, his answer was yes. Then he went on to ask, did you know before he was going to see him? He replied, no. But what makes all this really interesting to me is I also just learned that the House is Oversight Committee. Now, they have subpoenaed senior Trump aide and private, senior Trump aide, their private emails with the court concerns that Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, and of course, Steve Bannon. Now, it's up to me what I do to fire Mr. Zevlin, who, of course, was the gentleman who represented, I can't think of his name, the gentleman, Justin Cooper, who, of course, is toward the library of Hillary. But you guys get the gist of it. It's just fully, but, you know, I did sort of feel sorry for Mr. Mueller. I totally think he was nothing front man. I don't know if people agree. And the dossier, it's become the, I think, part of the part for the life.
He's breaking up again.
I'm breaking up.
Up, there you
go.
That's it.
Might be a little bit better. Yeah, if you just keep the microphone close to your mouth, I think that would be better. See, it seems like you're like in a distance or something. But I wanted to ask you, coming from a red state, as you mentioned when you first called in, Dean, are the people watching the mainstream media, the fake news media in your part of town, your friends, your colleagues, are they watching the mainstream and saying to themselves, what the heck are they talking about? You know, why are they bad-mouthing the president, America? They're anti-Semite. They accuse everybody of racism. So, like, people in red states, traditionally red states, like, do they look at the news and they see the same thing that we see, or are they being duped is my question.
Well, you know, in total honesty, no, most of the people I work with, of course, I work in medical, they are not really staying tuned in. They get so upset, and that's one reason I started doing this podcast, because I'm sort of trying to do, I think what you all are doing, is I try to give it to them in a nutshell. Now, I do my share of watching news, which is driving, watching MSLSD without driving me crazy, but being said, people that I do work with, Trump support, but no, they do not watch. They get what means to say what he's done to the end of the day.
Yeah, I sort of had that feeling. You know, I think that the people are a lot smarter than the mainstream fake news media gives them credit for. They think that they just, you know, present any fiction, any opinion, and they think they could set forth whatever it is they want, and the people just, you know, suck it up. And I don't think that's happening anymore. And it shows in their ratings. So they're really dropping in ratings. Fox News, for example, is has tripled the numbers of some of the CNN programs and the MSNBC programs, the fake news media. I think the American people are really waking up to this. It's right in your face, but, you know, I can't imagine. Dean, I'm going to have you back on another time when we have a little – I can give you a full 30 minutes. We are getting down to the end of the program, and we are having a little bit of trouble hearing you.
You know, keep up with us on Facebook. Keep in touch with us, and let me have you back on the show in a couple of weeks.
Would
that be okay? I know you were listening in. Oh, you're welcome. I know you were listening in for a while there, and I really appreciate you listening into the program. And, again, I just want to apologize to the listeners for the technical difficulties, but we will be running smoothly. Once in a while, this happens with Blog Talk Radio, but it doesn't happen every week. So we will be back next week, same time, 8 p.m., same guest, as I said early in the program. So we have a new segment every single Friday night from 8:30 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We have Gary Binford, who's a former sports writer for the New York Newsday and New York Daily News. And now he's founder of Nation Savers 2018, Trump supporter, Christian conservative. He's going to give us his opinion and commentary about current events and ongoing things. So I think it's just great. Welcome. We're so happy to have you. Thank you for sticking with us, Gary, tonight with all the technical difficulties. We really appreciate that.
Join me. It's been truly a nightmare this season. My debut on this One Radio Network, and well, there you go. Anyway, we're going to be dropping our show this Sunday night. Greg's going to be joining me, hopefully Tom Ackman from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and hopefully Scott will be back in town as well. And we'll try to get everything back on cue. Once again, want to thank you for listening on the audio side. And my name is Dean. This is Loudmouth. And hey, have a great night. It's been a nightmare.
Oh, thank you so much, Dean. But don't go yet. I have to tell you something. I know you've called into our program before. I don't know if you stayed on to the very end. Have you? Do you know what we do at the end of the show?
Well, no, I'm not aware. I'm sorry. I dropped off. I thought you were cutting me off, and I was talking to my listeners and closing out my show.
Oh, okay. Well, we heard you. You sounded better. We heard you, which was great. No, that was fine. I want you to stick around. We're almost to the end. We have only got a few minutes left. But what we do is we sing the national anthem at the end of the program.
Okay.
Because we love America and we love our country. Once in a while, it comes down hard on the country, and sometimes it's politicians. But at the end of the day, I want everyone to know how much I love America. So it's been a tradition on my program for many years now. We sing the national anthem, and we're going to be singing it with the Glee Club of West Point Glee Club on Veterans Day a few years ago, and it's a little fast paced. So we just sing aloud with the Glee Club. You ready?
I'm singing ready. I'm singing under you, William.
I don't know that you are.
Because you were just howling away last week. Like, Wolfman, you were just howling.
Well, I'll tell you what. This week I'm actually traveling, which is part of the trouble I had. I'm actually around West Point down on the Hudson. I'm actually doing this from
Don's
a different
light.
Location.
Cool. Breaking this morning
here
on
they
the
come.
Grounds of the United States Military Academy at West Point, New York. A most solemn place today, Veterans Day, as the country remembers the countless thousands who sacrificed for our freedoms, so many of whom were schooled on these very grounds. 90 years ago, President Woodrow Wilson deemed November 11th Armistice Day, celebrating peace, hearkening to the end of World War I, which had drawn to an official close at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, a peace that remains sought after still. So please join us here on SportsCenter as we begin a very special Veterans Day.
Colors, lock time, arms. Colors, ready, halt. Colors, present, arms.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light, what so proudly hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars were a banner's fight, for the ramparts we watched were so
job.
Ah!
Great job. Thank you so much. I love that song.
I'm out.
Ah! Brings a good tease in my eyes.
I'll have to take you to West Point one day for it.
Beautiful place.
Yeah, you owe me. Definitely.
Beautiful
not a
place.
Problem. You can make that happen.
All righty, guys. Good night, everyone. We'll talk to you all next week. God bless you all. God bless America.
Have a good night.
God bless everybody.
Good night, everyone.